So this week we're looking at the first chapter of 1 Peter and a couple of verses of the second chapter. And if you haven't read 1 Peter 1 recently, can I recommend that you go home and read it sometime in this week? And you also read verses 4 to 10 of chapter 2, which is what Andrew's going to be preaching on next week, which is my favourite bit. But it's really good if we engage with it before we come to church on Sunday. And as I was preparing and read and reread the first chapter, I was struck by Peter's introduction, where he said, "Grace and peace be with you in abundance. Grace and peace be with you in abundance." What a beautiful sentiment. What an incredible greeting. What an amazing place to be if we have God's grace and peace in abundance. A grace and peace, says Peter, which comes from the living hope we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it fills us with an inexpressible and glorious joy. As I look across, we're all filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, aren't we?
Yes,
thank you.
Amen.
Good. Because I wonder sometimes, a stranger wandering into a church, you know, they might wonder, are they really filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy? And, you know, being filled with grace and peace probably means something slightly different to each of us. But we are here to celebrate and worship the risen Lord, the creator of the universe. We need to recognize that God is good all the time. All the time?
Yes.
God is, oh, you don't know this. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. I'll say the first bit of each one. You respond with inexpressible joy. God is good all the time. All the time.
God is good.
Amen. And as I read the first 13 verses of Peter's letter, parts of which I shared right at the beginning of the service, it struck me that his starting point is the resurrection. He is writing to people who are suffering, who are being persecuted, yet he doesn't talk about how Jesus also suffered, how God in Jesus has experienced pain and suffering as well. Rather, he talks of this time of suffering they're going through in terms of testing, in terms of strengthening their faith, in terms of encouraging them to look forward to the hope they have in Christ Jesus. The hope they have because Jesus rose from the dead, defeating death and offering us life in all its fullness. Or as some translations of John 10:10 say, offering abundant life. And there's that word again, abundance. The gospel of Jesus Christ, fully God, fully human. Jesus Christ who rose on the third day, who sets us right with the Father, offers us peace, grace, life in abundance. And because of that, we're filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. I was doing some reading last night, and in this reading I was doing, they quoted, the author whose name has gone out of my head, quoted Leslie Newbegin. And he says that mission begins with a kind of explosion of joy. Do we exhibit this explosion of love, joy and hope? But the important thing, he says, is this joy is rooted in a deep relationship with the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. No, just the first one. If we go, everyone knows what I'm going to say now. I'll stop. Because what Peter is telling us is that in Christ we have a living hope. In Christ we can trust. In his gospel of grace and hope we find ourselves born into a new life, a new sense of belonging, a new family. We become heirs to the kingdom as people of God. Now we can say that, but we also know, as did the people that Peter was writing to, that life is not always easy. Many of us are struggling because of the cost of living crisis, the mental health crisis, the NHS crisis, national, local and personal struggles that each of us have to face and deal with, including ill health and bereavement. The hostile environment that has been created for the long-term sick, the unemployed, refugees and migrants. But Peter tells us, as he tells those churches in Asia Minor, to live in hope, to be filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy that comes from knowing Jesus in our lives. Two people shared earlier about jumping out of an aeroplane. And we talked about taking a leap of faith. As followers of the way, we believe that God is always with us, walking alongside us whatever we are going through. But what does it mean to live in hope and grace? Well, Peter quotes from Leviticus, and he challenges us to be transformed by that hope and grace. In verse 15 and 16, he says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" But what does it mean to be holy? What does holy mean? And I did the thing you probably shouldn't do. I went to Google and I looked for definitions of what holy means. I found a lot, but I'm only going to give you one, otherwise we'll be here all day. The one definition I found said, "Holy means to be righteous, pure, sinless, godly, to be perfect, complete and fulfilled in every possible sense, to be separated and entirely different from all other beings and things." And I thought, well, if that's the case, I'm scuppered, aren't I? Because that's not describing me. Except, is it? Because my hope is in Christ Jesus, who is all of those things. I'm not holy because I make myself pure, sinless, godly. I know me better than anyone else. My imperfections, my inconsistencies, my weaknesses, my faults, my failures. I know I can't fix that on my own. But I have grace and a peace in abundance from Christ Jesus. It's by this grace that I'm healed. It's by his grace that I'm purified. It's by his grace that I'm made holy. In asking Jesus into my life and welcoming the Holy Spirit to dwell within me, the very life of God is in me, in you, in all of us who have asked Jesus to be part of our lives. Holiness comes at the beginning and center of God's call on our lives. We are holy because we have been specially recognized as or declared sacred by an authority. And what more authority is there than God? Peter reminds us that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. So our faith and hope are in God. We are born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So in Christ, we are made whole and holy. When we respond in faith to the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, we're united with Christ. To be a Christian means far more than merely to believe in God, as if the Christian faith could be reduced to a system of beliefs. Rather, it means to be united with Jesus in and through the Holy Spirit. Through the blood of Jesus, God sanctifies us, makes us holy. We are the saints of God. John 17:17, Jesus prays, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. Paul in Hebrews 13:12 says, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Paul writes in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's Galatians 2:20. Passages like these convey the mysterious yet amazing fact that by accepting Jesus into our lives, we participate in the very life of God. He dwells in us and we dwell in him. And as such, we can say that in Christ, God's holiness is our holiness. In Christ, we are already holy. And any and all subsequent notions of what it means to be holy must be predicated on this truth. In Christ, we are whole and holy. Perhaps you've not yet given your life to Christ. Perhaps you have. And if you have, can you remember that time when you accepted this grace and ask Christ to come into your life? I can't remember the day exactly, but I remember as a young man at a Methodist Association of Youth Club event in High Street Methodist Church in Whitney, the National Secretary of MOIC, David Winwood, was preaching and ended with an altar call, which I answered and gave my life to Christ. I remember it wasn't a flash of light. It wasn't like Paul, a Damascus Road incident, but it was a result of a drip, 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 which had built up and burst through into my consciousness that this was something I needed to do, to give my life to Christ. And in that moment, at that very time, I knew I was forgiven. I was made whole. I was holy and perfect in God's sight. And when things have got tough, when I've struggled, I know I can always turn to God and feel his hand on my shoulder to comfort and reassure me. In Christ, we are all made whole and holy. And God's call to be holy is a radical, all-encompassing claim on our lives, our loves, and our very identities. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ requires nothing less than death to our fallen egocentric selves in order that we might live in and for him. Jesus says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. That's in Mark 8:35. To be holy means that all we are, all we have belongs to God, not ourselves. That every aspect of our lives is to be shaped and directed towards God. We must give of ourselves and strive that we might live a holy life of love and service. That we might engage in what I like to call holy, holy living. As Peter wrote, it is written, be holy because I am holy. Be holy in all you do. And God's call on us is to concentrate our efforts in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit on being holy, on being more and more like Jesus, opening our hearts and minds and lives to all the possibilities that following him offers, not just on a Sunday, but every day, every way we go. So I ask the question, or questions, when we are exhausted, will we be holy? When we're frustrated with a colleague or friend, will we demonstrate holiness? When we're talking with others, in the words we use, the way we engage with them, are we holy? In our thoughts, as our minds wander, as we are distracted or tempted to be despondent or think negative thoughts, are our thoughts attuned to God? Are we holy? When we're tempted to stray, how do we stay on the narrow path to maintain our holiness? When we're ironing clothes, cleaning the toilets, will we maintain a holy attitude? When someone says something to hurt us intentionally, will we respond in a holy manner? Leslie Newbegin wrote that the only credible way of displaying the gospel to the world is through a congregation of men and women, of women and men who believe it and live by it. And that's our challenge, to be men and women who believe in and live by the gospel. The risen living Christ wants to give us a new, hopeful, abundant life and make us holy. Make us hopeful because he lives, holy because he is holy, and whole because of his grace and mercy. And he calls us to go out in his strength to love and serve the world as God's holy, holy people. Amen.